The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! What a firing! So well taken. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, jeez. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big man takes the mark, it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And, you know, it's one of the curses of middle age is that you already get to the stage of saying, well, when I was young, and we didn't have to walk 3 miles to go work in a coal mine when we were kids, Andy, but we did have to walk quite long distances from Melbourne train stations on the way home after dispiriting Melbourne losses. And look, this weekend your kids got one of those character forming life experiences.
They did. It was quite a shock for everyone that Richmond doesn't always win. Dusty doesn't always put on the Superman cape. Obviously our preview pod was insufferably
so
hubristic.
So smug.
But yeah, it was it was quite like it, even to last year's grand final. You know, when we lost Prestia early on, I sort of went, damn. The main thing I was saying damn for was that he'll be out for a month now because it's a chronic injury now. It didn't at all occur to me that . 4 games ago in sequence, we had beaten the second best team in the AFL with our key backline distributor out for the game and another player with a torn calf and with no substitution. Like, when you just have, when that's your baseline, to just, sort of get led at every turn and just be comfortably beaten. You're just not expecting it, are you?
No. Some days it's not your day. Like just the, we'd had Jack Ross as a sub the first 2 weeks. And so, we couldn't have him as a sub this week. And this week would have been the perfect week. And, Dan Rioli's pretty awkward, was a pretty awkward substitute. K-Mac got injured as well, although not till much later in the game, and being as stoically brave as you'd expect, the Swans took their chances. We looked a bit leaden footed. Yeah, it was a pretty painful day at the office.
Yeah, look, the thing was, and I feel I should say this, that because Richmond crowds are about 20% down.
All crowds, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, exactly. But I think Richmond was down 20, and most of the Melbourne crowds are down that much. West Coast crowds are surprisingly down quite a lot too, but not quite as much. Yeah, I'm not saying this is a Richmond problem, it's just a Melbourne problem. So I do feel duty-bound to point out that actually once you worked out the ticketing system, it was a really good system for members to go to the game.
Mm.
And it was a beautiful day in the sun. The tickets we got were really good. The queues at the concession stand were quite reasonable. Like everything but the on-field performance was a very pleasant day at the football. Unfortunately, the football meant that my son was lobbying to leave from half time.
perfectly understand that.
Yeah. So it was very much as you say, it was a flashback to some of our late 80s experiences when I was about the same age.
late 80s, early 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, late 2000s, early 2010s.
True. I mean, you know, we're getting off the point here, as is our one. But like by about, I reckon about by, it was, you know, the John Northey era, the team became watchable. Like that was,
late era of most coaches got pretty bad.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, except John Northey, who never got a late era. But by, you know, formative years, late teens for me, that's why, you know, Benny Gale is one of my favorite players, because he was a key emerging, and yours too, player in that team, and sort of a focal point. It is to this day, when I meet Brendan in social circles, it's very difficult to keep my thoughts together, because inside I'm still giggling like a 14-year-old schoolboy.
And nice work on the humble brag there as well.
I've met him a few times, but, you know, like if you go to a VFL game, you're quite likely to bump into him. It's not like it's, you know, he's a very approachable guy. Every Richmond supporter. And while we're talking about anything but the game, kudos to the club for putting the three Premiership Cups on display at the MCG Museum. So yeah. every member can go. So nice. I think every fan can. Yeah, it is a nice gesture.
I've seen a lot of people having their photos taken with those cups. That's a nice one.
Yeah, exactly. It makes, you know, everyone contributed in their own little way with membership and keeping the club alive. So everyone can feel a part of it. We are a club. We're not a franchise. It was nice of the club. The club's done some really good things with fan engagement lately. So the fan experience was lovely, except for the on-field product, which was car crack from start to finish.
Yeah, it seems bad that not only the Swans led in most stats, like they had the top six ball winners on the ground, but we still had them covered comfortably in the clangor department. Like it was just wasn't a good day in the office.
Yeah, and look, by this stage, and I apologise for recording this podcast late, because it was not because it was a terrible game. It was because one of us had unavoidable personal circumstances, which we don't need to go into. But look, it was a car wreck. But there's sort of like a few things it's been written up so much. That's what I was going to say. Sorry, I apologize. I lost my train of thought. Some of the things it's been written up so much about the Swans ball control game that, you know, they sort of got the formula to defeat Richmond. And that does definitely work well against us, but this has been known for actually several years now. And it would be foolish, I think, as Nick and I have been amongst ourselves, we've been sharing the sort of various analytical articles about how the Swans beat Richmond. Look, that is how they beat us, and that is how we've been beaten by other teams in the past as well.
Ball control when they have the ball, pressure on us when we have the ball. Like it's a powerful combination.
It definitely works, and it has worked in the past. The question is this likely to happen more often because of the rules? Is an open one, but I don't think you can come to a definitive.
No,
like it's silly to rush to a judgment on one game's evidence, because the same piece of evidence has happened in other years.
Yeah, there's been some of the usual suspects go early, like Mark McClure, you know, random clickbait articles on the Raw declaring the end, not only the end of the Richmond era, but questioning the whole, but. We were lucky and had Dusty and weren't particularly good otherwise. We've had bad games before. God, the round three game last year against Hawthorn was miserable. The year before that, early season injury crisis and that thoroughly woeful game against Geelong, among others. Like, there's
North Melbourne beat us.
Yeah.
Just before they imploded more spectacularly than a club, almost any club has in the modern era.
2017, we got flogged by a St Kilda team going absolutely nowhere. Like, it's a long season, bad stuff happens. And it could be a bad sign for the future. It could be a bad day at the office. Like, it's it's a really small piece of information to make big judgments on.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Let's talk a bit about the game. One thing that really stood out to me,
if we have to,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, the end center square clearance was 16-12, but we got, I think it was 6-0 to start the game.
I know, and that's something pre-game we talked about, that where we had an advantage. I mean, Prestia going down in the first quarter doesn't help, but yeah, when our relatives' strengths going into the game turn out to be weaknesses, that's not good.
No, absolutely not, and I think, you know, you can't know this for sure, but I bet the coaching staff, well, internally, they would have gone, damn, we wish this week, because obviously they had to pick Rioli because Ross had been the sub twice and needed to play VFL, but I bet they were silently cursing that that was the week they didn't have Ross, because I'm sure they would have much rather have had Ross as the sub once Prestia went down, but you can't, you know, it might have been a small forward. Yeah, exactly. These things do happen, but it was unfortunate.
Bolton spending more time in the midfield was quite a winning move last year when Prestia was injured, but yeah, not this week.
No, he was on the AFL ratings. He had one of the worst scores of Richmond player I've seen in a long time. It was a big negative. It was a car wreck. Things were not going well at all for Bolton this week.
No.
Eglemazie Smith has already been dropped. Perhaps for the last time in Richmond. But
I checked his record, and it seemed like I was thinking, oh my god, it seems like every time he plays, we get beaten. And he's got quite a solid winning record as a Richmond player, but just there's a few games that really stand out in your mind.
Yeah, and look, I must admit, it's because of a friend of ours is always talking about him. It just came to mind, but I notice him more often. Also, he's one of the few less than 10 game players on the team. So you obviously keep a bigger eye on the new players, and he seems like a bit too hard on fakes. Like his positioning was poor. Once or twice, he didn't seem to chase back with the requisite level of desperation that you need when the team has got out their back. Yeah, it was. Let's just say I wasn't surprised when he was dropped.
No, look, it feels like a big upgrade. Dev will be back this week.
And when they're playing a Tasmanian mature age rookie, he's been at the club for a few months in front of you. I think that's pretty indicative.
The great supporters of this podcast, even though they don't know it, is the Footy Wire website. And they didn't have a profile of Ryan Mansell, who's one of our two debutants this week, until after 4 o'clock this afternoon.
That is indicative, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, good on him. I've mentioned before when he was training with us, I really liked his highlights, and you know, thought he cracked in really well and played well in the VFL on the weekend, apparently. And yeah, I laughed at the club videos of him talking to his dad, trying to explain that he was in the team, and his dad was going, are you in the 22 or are you the sub? Oh, I don't know, Dad, but you're going to have to come to Adelaide.
Oh, well, at least his dad's up to date with the modern AFL rules.
No, we're all confused, mate. We're all confused.
And his son got to the point nicely. Back your bags, Dad. And it was nice actually that Cleary's parents have been coming to watch all his VFL games, which is kind of cool. So obviously very invested in his football career. I do like it that you know, they get called into Dimmer's office and there's someone fielding it. It's unlikely they're going to be said, oh, you know, we've been going through the tape, and in the second quarter your positioning was here when it really should be here. We want you to work on your fat side cover. No, it's not going to be about that, is it?
No, and you can actually see them sneak a glance at the camera which normally they're pretty professional at not doing, but yeah. No.
Yeah, look, you can't begrudge them that, can
no,
you?
No, not at all. The other debutant this week, Will Martin, yeah, again, apparently a really high-character kid. Same for, you know, Ryan Mansell's got passed over in the draft a couple of times, out of Tassie, gone to South Australia, got noticed, but then picked up, you know, played well, but didn't get drafted again. You know, he's finally made the most of it, and within a month he's playing senior football for the reigning premiers. And yeah, Will Martin, we drafted him in 2019 out of the Lions Academy, and the Lions chose not to match our bid on him. So yeah, that it. And he was the captain of their academy that year. So yeah, these are guys who've had to overcome a bit in their footy career. So yeah, it's I mean, debutants are always great, but yeah, these are good stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of Kane Lamberts now on the team, isn't there?
There is.
So you think about Kane Lambert, Jake Hartz, Baker,
Broad.
And now these two. Although maybe Will Martin doesn't quite count because he was drafted as an 18-year-old.
Mm.
Would that be fair? So he's the only, but Mansell is definitely in that category, and Marlon, of course. So you've got a lot of mature age guys who have worked hard, and Marlon kept his spot. Now, Nick, just for a change, I mean, we're all keen to just move on from last week, but
repress the memory.
I do want to point out that the ruck matchup was quite interesting. So you know, the conventional wisdom is that Mansell Hickey, sorry, I still had the last conversation in my head. Hickey flogged Nank, but actually, Nank was our second best player on the rankings.
Had a lot of contested possession. Hickey did get a good goal.
Yeah, Hickey beat him technically, but it wasn't, it was actually classical Nank. You know, some of the riots of the game, it was so unusual that Nank Irvis had his colours lowered. Well, actually, Nankervis has sort of almost made a career out of just being competitive and getting slightly beaten in the ruck. The only problem was rather than playing against, say, Brody Grundy, who's worth $1 million a year, he was in one of the rare times where he's playing against a ruckman who's cost his team less than he did.
No, actually, certainly not in draft pick terms.
What did Hickey cost?
A second round draft pick from the Eagles.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, isn't that interesting? Because because Nank's always the money ball ruck that
The third round draft pick from the Swans. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, we got absolutely done in the centre clearances, but yeah, the idea that Nank got flogged, it was a bit unfair. Also, just Baker was very good.
Ten intercept possessions.
Very good with pressure.
It is always a bad sign when you're two leading possession winners, are small defenders in Baker and Short.
Yeah, absolutely. Who also had a good, respectably ranked game. Lynch in the end had three goals.
Yes,
Castagna
took him a while to work into the game. Josh Caddy was our third leading possession winner and got dropped.
Well, he did it again with a smart arsey remark and giving away the 50.
Yeah, he should know better. I mean, it is part of his personal brand, but he should know better.
Yeah, I wondered whether that alone was it, because he'd been warned, made a point of warning him publicly about that before.
Didn't he get dropped last year after a dumb 50?
No, he did. He did for exactly this offence against it was the Port game. So that's what I'm saying is that's what I think he just for a discipline reasons he gave Dimmer no choice. There was also again, you know, I just noticed he didn't track back as hard as he could have once or twice. I don't think that's his natural strength anyway. But
Pickett for his failing sometimes disposing of the ball he's an extremely good athlete in tracking back. He's both yes. quick and a high endurance runner as well. So yeah, he's good at tracking back.
Which why he keeps getting picked.
Yeah.
Because you know he's kicking is not always great. But good on him. Jack Graham is very much back to 2000.
Sad to say.
The old Jack Graham. Yeah. I mean, incredible pressure act stats. You know, almost double the second highest. But yeah, back to sort of doing not very much. I mean, he had 16 touches, but they are pretty ineffectual touches. And he gave away a dumb free kick that led to the Swans' first important goal. I think first goal. It certainly he hasn't replicated the heroics of the Carlton game.
No. I think Nathan Broad and Kane Lambert were two players who I think wouldn't be slumping in their seat during match review on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, probably Kane Lambert rarely does, but yes, I definitely completely agree. For people who didn't watch much of the fourth quarter, Arts kicked a very nice game.
Oh, he did. Yeah, that was a tiny bit of work. Yeah, I can't say I watched the last quarter with avid interest. Yeah.
Oh, and we got shafted by the umpires, but we were sort of it you know, we allowed it to happen to ourselves by having the ball in their forward line so often.
We did.
Nax Mark was a mark.
They kicked really well for goal. Like, you know, just
actually they'll bang on their expected and actual.
Oh no. No they won't. Oh
yeah, I've got it in front of me.
We may be looking at different websites because they were 9 over on different. Ooh, clashing data.
This is exciting podcasting. Yeah. We're looking at different tables, which neither of us can see. Anyway, it's still when it's 117, whether the difference is 9 points or whether they're bang on, it's not a huge difference. I don't know if your thing had the same thing as I did, but I think almost every game this year we've been under our expected.
Oh, I look up the AFL Stats Insider website on their shot charting, and they had us as spot on this week.
Well, this is exciting podcast. We'll just have to move on from this point.
This is just fascinating. How about we agree to never talk about this game ever again?
I'm completely fine with that. I've pulled out all the tiny positives I have already. But you know, I think in summary, well done to Baker, who's the brave little champion, and we should be very grateful that we picked him up in that rookie draft.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you want to talk about? There's a little bit of off-field news. The club tweeted pictures of our enormous new recruit in Mate Kalina, out of quarantine and down at the club. And look, you know, Ruckman have clearly got bigger since Neil Baum's day, but he's a really big boy.
He is. Like 213 centimetres is dwarfing even my man Soldo. I have a couple of reactions. Firstly, Piggy O'Neill's probably excited to have someone at the club who can talk college sports with him. I've yet to confirm whether she has actually done so. Secondly, it's exciting for me to have a Richmond player who's I could potentially out bench press, because I'm not sure if you noticed, but I'm not sure the University of Hawaii's weights room was. I'm not sure the basketball team spent all that much time in it.
He doesn't have very chiseled guns, but from what I've seen of him playing basketball, he does actually look fairly strong. I mean, fairly strong for an enormously tall basketballer. Is different to being strong for an NFL football. He's not particularly well defined, but I don't think he's going to get ragdolled.
No, look, they're going to put him in they're going to put him on a hardcore weights regime because he wasn't a professional athlete before. He's a unpaid college. He had to go to class, and they have limits on the amount of time they can train in college sports. So he's going to, his life's about to change, and I'm sure his body shape will over the next few months too. But you know, I highly doubt he's going to play this year because CCJ's suspension will be up soon, and Sampson's been playing well.
Yeah, Dimmo was talking about loaning out Sampson to the Suns in a sort of Sheedy-esque moment in the press conference.
I was about to say it was pure Sheedy. He got the front page of the Age with that silly throwaway idea. The loan system doesn't work that well. Like, people like it, but it doesn't work that well in Premier League. Like, the idea it's going to you know, no one who's really good ever gets loaned out. It only makes sense if the loaning club has an option to buy them. Like, but well done for Dimmer for moving on the media cycle from stories about how Sydney's unsolved the Richmond unsolved the Richmond Rubik's Cube or whatever rubbish.
CC. I don't know. We have been a little bit critical about some of the club's VFL coverage for the lack of statistics, but this week's VFL highlights did comprise largely of people's set shot routines, which was hard to take a great deal from.
Yeah, no, it's always people taking set shots is always. Always of limited analytical use. I'm just waiting for the start of the season. But, you know, a few things.
Mansell had a lot of intercepts. One more week of practice games. I mean, it's felt like practice games forever, but, yeah, only one more week.
Yeah, but, like, there were a few things that you could actually get from the stats that I believe Naish was sort of everywhere with the ball.
39 disposals. I heard that Hugo Rousmith both played well, was in line for a senior debut, and managed to get himself suspended for a week, and so missed his chance.
Yeah, I heard something very similar, and perhaps the coach might have been a bit annoyed with him.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, so Will Martin, I mean, it's not surprised that he played well, but he had 24 disposals and 4 tackles. Hulley, very respectable, 22 disposals and 3, which looked a level above. Paddy Naish, 39, as previously mentioned.
When Samson Ryan kicks agile goals as a skinny 200-centimetre-plus Richmond VFL key forward, I do have uncomfortable McPenn flashbacks.
Indeed. Jack Ross had very respectable 9 tackles, as well as plus 20 possessions. So good for him. And noticeably absent was any mention of RCD.
Although he is an emergency yet again this week, which I do. I do feel sorry for the guy. And God, I know. After so many times as emergency, the odds of him being making his debut and then not getting to come on the ground as an injury substitute would be cruel irony.
They can't do that to him,
no,
can they?
They can't. I don't know. I mean, Naish has played really well. Maybe he gets to be the sub, but yeah, it's a funny old system. I wish they'd name the 23rd man at selection.
Yeah, they've taken a lot of the romance out of selection. It's like one of these things where they sort of, again, it's they let the coaches. I know this is a popular thing in the last few weeks, but you know, don't let the coaches decide how you do lineups. Like, this is part of the silly game, like part of the silly traditions of the game. Like, you know, anyway, they've given in to the Killjoy coaches. So. Good for them, but yeah, it's taken some of the romance out of selection.
It has literally been decades. I almost can't remember a time in my life when I haven't always really looked forward to selection.
Yeah, indeed. Now, Port Adelaide, Nick.
Yeah, they're a very good team.
Do you remember we discussed in the preseason about that? Surely, Travis Boker is going to drop off eventually.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't. Although they did, Port Adelaide talked an extremely big game, in the preseason, and actually hasn't stopped even after a bad loss last week when was it Travis Boak who came out and said that they were planning to win all 22 regular season games.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, in theory, every football team does, right? But it was an interesting thing to admit. I actually kind of liked that he admitted that after they'd lost.
I know. And so they like us, are coming off a pretty disappointing loss. It doesn't do anything about the, you know, they had two good wins to start the year against, you know, reasonably soft opposition. It doesn't do anything to quell the whispers about them being a bit of a, they don't travel well. So they've gone down to the Eagles by 37 points. Look, it is, I feel like we don't have to say a great deal, because we've played an absolute classic of a preliminary final against them. You know, we were the better team. We had 6 more scoring shots, but that, you know, you play that game 10 times and they'd win 3 or 4 of them. Like it was a really tough, competitive game of football. They've got a few new players in the team. Aliyah has given them a bit more height in the back line, although he's sort of often more of an attacking defender rather than someone who mans up tightly. After a very long delayed courtship, Orazio Fantasia's gone there as well. I really like Jordi Ardis, the young key forward. They've got another youngster in Lachlan Jones who's come into the team. So yeah, they're pretty familiar to what we saw last year, and then they've dropped Laddams, their backup ruck, and so interestingly,
who played well against
regular season. So yeah, I think, you know, I wonder if they'd played him that we would have been more likely to play Chole, who's an emergency. But yeah, they're a very good team at the Adelaide Oval. This, you know, we are, I think, 8.5 point underdogs, and
we are,
and deservedly so.
Yeah, I think you've covered it very well. The only thing I would add is that Butters is absolutely killing it this year.
I know, annoyingly so.
He's top 10 in the AFL at the moment.
Yeah, the sort of, because they're a little bit of a donut team in having some of these really good younger players and some very good, you know, much older players like Robbie Gray and Boak, as you mentioned, and the sort of the key is for the younger guys to him.
Butters is 20 for the sake of the listeners.
For guys like him to improve without the older guys declining too much, and yeah, it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, look, I've been trying to find a side on the 8.5 point spread about whether that's reasonable, and I think sort of like you, I think that's probably about bang on. I'm obviously a bit like a lizard brain pessimistic because we've just seen us lose, but you know,
we are still premiership favourites.
No, like that's exactly right. Like you have to overcome the lizard brain and look at the empirical rational evidence. And the empirical rational evidence is that like we've consistently been pretty good at footy over a long period of time. So look, I'm looking forward to the game. It's Friday night. It should be fun, and it'll be the next week.
You won't have to take the kids.
Well, not to Port, no, but we'll get to watch it. And the other thing is the week after, I'm be far more annoyed about it because we're playing a home game at Marvel against a Marvel tenant, which is just ludicrous, but we can rant about that next week.
I know. That'll be – look, and I think how upset we'll feel about it will also be influenced by how we go on Friday night as well.
Yeah, very true. I should just say, since we're about to wrap up, that we will have a new theme song. I know I promised this week, but we will have a new theme song soon. Obviously, the champs are here is no longer appropriate after we've lost the game since the grand final, but we still are the grand final, the reigning premiers. So let's enjoy it.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.